There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this little Friday, the Thursday show, the Friday Eve show. And we are live at the Mobile Convention Center for the Mobile Chambers Business Expo. We'll talk about that in just a second. Hopefully you can get down here and be part of this. We'll do our show down here, but there's tons of folks to visit with and vendors to talk to and do just that and stop by. We got FM Talk 106.5 goodies. I tell you what, I also brought some of our host Cam Marston's book, What's Working, the book he put together with great ideas from these first, I think, 200 episodes of his show. We got copies of that book for you down here when you stop by and see us at the FM Talk 106.5 booth here at the Business Expo. Also coming up, Parker Snyder, 1819news.com. That's around 12:35. And at 1 o'clock, Dale Leash from Landyap. Landyap Mobile joins us. Lots to talk about with him. Of course, the text line is already popping at 343-0106, the Ascension Technologies text line. We'll probably do more text today since I'm on remote than phone calls, but you can always maybe, if you had to call, you could do that at 343-0106. And reminder, too, you can send me one of those talkback messages through the FM Talk 106.5 app that's waiting for you right now. Google Play, if you're an Android user, App Store, if you're an iPhone user, just look for FM TALK 1065, and you'll see the logo there. Download the app and enjoy it. Tell me more about it once you get it downloaded. All right, so we'll start off with the fact that we are back for, I don't know how many years it's been, many years running at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo, and I'm sitting with the people that made this happen here. Now, directors, what's everybody's title? Sistine, introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Sistine. I'm the Director of Member Relations here at the Mobile Chamber.
All right.
And I'm Jackie Hecker, and I am the Senior Account Executive at the Chamber. So I can help people join the Chamber of Commerce or sponsor events and buy advertising, those types of things.
Those are good things to do.
They are.
And we'll talk about those, but first of all, let's talk about what is going on here, because I've been doing this for years. This crowd is big this year. This is a lot of people.
Right. And so we're really, really excited to have, you know, this is Mobile's largest business-to-business trade show, and we've got about 200 local companies who are representing their business and really showcasing their talents. It really gives our chamber members the opportunity to network and really promote their companies as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about this. People that are local and local businesses, we look at it as, okay, well, they're selling or services or whatever to the community at large. But at the same time, we're all shopping with each other and doing business. You know, there's so many people here that are our clients or our vendors that are here at the same event, so it's a good time to see them in a different setting.
Absolutely.
It sure is. It's really a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people here that we don't see all the time, that these people don't, not all of them are at business after hours or at a coffee with the chamber, but they come out for this.
Right.
So we get to see a different group of people. It's really a lot of fun.
Y'all come out and come see what's going on today. But you talked about this overall membership in the chamber. I'll give you the simple. But why should somebody be involved?
Well, for one thing, they can participate in the Business Expo, many other things. We have a lot of great networking opportunities. As I mentioned a moment ago, Business After Hours is a really big event we have.
Now, what is that? What happens?
That is a networking event that we have about every other month, and we have it at different places of business, and they can showcase their business, and our members can come and pass out business cards and meet and greet, and we always have great food and we have drinks, and people just learn about each other's businesses, and it's a wonderful way to get those business leads. And we usually have like 150 approximately 150 at these events now, so they're really big. And we have Coffee with the Chamber, which is a morning event that's basically the same type of thing, except, but you'll catch a different group of people because you catch those early bird people, you know. And we just have free publicity opportunities in our e-newsletter that comes out every Thursday. We also have free publicity opportunities in our on our Facebook group called Mobile Chamber Connection. Our members can share information with each other. Whatever they would share on their own social media pages, they can share on there. We have educational opportunities throughout the year. We have task forces and committees that they can serve on. We have a phenomenal economic development department that is bringing all this great business to town.
Right.
So there's just so many benefits. I can't even tell you all of them.
Well, I mean, that part of it, too, the advocacy for business here, right? That's a big part of what y'all do, because that's what you're tasked with for your membership. We're all business people here, so we want to have that tide rise even higher here in our area.
Absolutely. We have Leighton Little in our legislative department, and he actually watches legislation on the local, state, and federal level, and keeps us abreast of what's going on, keeps our members abreast, and if our members have issues that they need to help, that they need help with, we can help them. He's got a lot of great connections, like I said, on all of those levels, so he can help. We often have businesses that just meet with him to learn more about, to get some help in, you know, with some legislation.
Jackie, one of the issues I hear, and I've heard it from the CEO, from Bradley Byrne, and I hear it from people here, hear it from people I work with and around, one of the biggest challenges has been getting people to work, having employees. I mean, it's an amazing thing that we're begging people to come to work.
That is true, and the Chamber is also working very hard on that as well. Also, our Economic Development Department. We have two people that's what they do, is they work on workforce development, and that's, so they're trying to get the college students to stay here and work in Mobile, get people from other areas to come. You know, we have a lot of specific days for different universities to come out and just tour Mobile and see what we have to offer so that we can bring people to the area. We have More to Mobile campaign going on that's trying to bring folks from other parts of the country to Mobile and show them what Mobile has to offer, and especially on that workforce side. But they work on everything from housing. We have to have affordable housing in order for those people to come and live and work here. So they work on the whole gamut. It's really quite phenomenal what all they do.
Okay, so let's talk about this. If somebody's listening to us right now, they go, yeah, you know, I think maybe I'm interested in this. Like the process of getting signed up, what do you do? You go to the website, you call you, what do you do?
You can do that. You can go to mobilechamber.com, and there is a membership application right there. You can certainly call the chamber office at 432-5900. Yeah, 432-5900, and you can ask for me, Jackie, or Gary. We both can help with that, I'd love to sit down and talk with folks if they want to learn more, or they can just do it online if they want to.
Okay, and if they're wandering around this area right now, down here by the convention center, they can come
and see me. I'm Jackie.
Okay. And hours for today, how long are we, how long are doors open?
We're open till 3 o'clock today.
Okay.
Hope to see you guys come out, and it'll be a good time.
All right. Well, good deal. Come down and be part of it. We are at the Business Expo for the Mobile Chamber. When you get a chance, stop on by and grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Like I said, we got some huggers, we got pens, and we do have candy. Well, see, that was the key. We brought candy as well, because I have people at least that work with me go, you know, people don't just all want to have pens and huggers. Some people want candy, so we got candy too. And we got copies of Cam Barson's What Works book. Come by and grab those. Good to see you. Thanks for having us out.
Thank you so much.
All right. Coming back in just a little bit, Parker Snyder, 1819 News. He joins me. Also, Dale Leash in hour number two. And, of course, the text line. You know, some of the holdover on the text line is amusing from yesterday's conversation about water in Fairhope and who gets to wash their car and who gets to water their yard. That drama is still playing out on the text line. And maybe I'll mention that and whip that back up here in just a little bit. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106. Yeah.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, and we are live from the Mobile Chamber's Business Expo, going on until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you get a chance to stop by and say hello, do what a lot of people have. We appreciate that. Grab some FM Talk 106.5 logoed merchandise, and like I said, and candy. We have candy, so stop on by and get that as well. Coming up, Parker Snyder from 1819 News. And in hour number two, my man Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. We'll get to him. Some of the stories that have broken today, news stories that have people talking. Another death at Mobile Metro. This from Keith Lane over at NBC 15 says, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office has released a report about the death of another Mobile Metro jail inmate. Said, here it is, according to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, on August 15th, an inmate from Metro Jail, William Gregory Hooper, was found unresponsive in his cell. William was taken to a local hospital by ambulance where he passed away in the emergency room. Williams was booked into Metro Jail on August 8th for public intoxication. At the time of his booking, William was already suffering from several health issues and being monitored by medical staff. Mobile County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit is investigating. So that's four now, right? So that's four of those stories. So we will look into it. You know, the sheriff, when he was on when the sheriff and I talked about it, he talked about the different conditions that he said, you know, there's people come into jail that are not particularly healthy in the first place. And so he, you know, I think two of the cases for the previous deaths were linked to, like, health conditions that the people had when they came into Mobile Metro. So they are, I know, building a new, an infirmary annex there, or maybe it is finished, to be able to get those people to treatment earlier instead of transporting them to a hospital out there. All right, we'll grab a text from the text line at 343-0106, and then we'll take a second to make it seem like a Sunday morning here at FM Talk 106.5. And it is, you might know him as Sip, but I know him as Mike, Mike Bailey, from Sip and Chew, joining us. Good to see you.
Great seeing you.
So fancy seeing you here.
Yeah, well, my real daytime job,
yeah.
we're over there in a booth pushing paper products, you know, and it's who I work for now, and been doing that for a few years. But I enjoy it. It's real light work. Don't have to lift heavy cases of wine anymore. But I just lift them one bottle at a time now.
That's right. Speaking of which, so let's get controversial here. Okay, let's get controversial. Blends.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a conversation with somebody the other day, I was like, I was drinking this blend that I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, but that's a blend.
Yeah.
Should I be ashamed of myself?
No. That's the big thing. I mean, that's what Bordeaux is, you know. It's all house wine. The chateaus means house wines. They're all blends.
I stood up for myself, yeah. But the person's like, "Well, why don't you just drink a Cabernet or something?" I was like, "Because this thing's tasty. I don't know. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like it."
Oh, that's you know, sometimes one grape by itself may be a little too much, so you need another grape to kind of tone it down a little bit.
Okay,
the characteristics of it, make it a little softer. Make it
yeah, tell me what to say so I sound smart. Like you're like, so to tone, I say I need another grape to tone down the characteristics.
That and then
you know, I'm drinking out of a Red Solo cup when I do this, but go ahead. Yes, sir.
But that and then you blend those two together, and you know, they just don't crush the grapes, put them in a vat, and then go, you know, hope for the best. They've got actual, you know, cellar masters that sit there and they test everything. They sample and they'll try this blend, try that blend, and give it age. And actually, they can tell months ahead of time how that's going to turn out. And of course, they're checking the sugar residual and the acidicness and all that. And they'll be able to tell, because of their palate, their own skills, you know, how that wine's probably going to taste. And they're hoping that it's going to taste.
But so my takeaway as a civilian, not a person that's worked in the field, mm-hmm. like you for so long, is I shouldn't be embarrassed and take any credit for the wine. Okay, thank
now,
you.
Now, if you
that's
drink a White Claw, yeah.
Well, I don't know if White Claw's come out with a blend yet. But, you know, people might do their own White Claw. But no.
I'm just kidding, White Claw.
I'm not. Yeah, that's not my thing. There's plenty for everybody else. I guess remind folks, too, that aren't weekend listeners. Of course, we mentioned you as Sip from mm-hmm. Sip and Chew. Talk about the show.
Yeah.
What do y'all do? When can they hear you?
Well, they can hear us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., right after Bill Finch's show. You know, we've been doing this for a few years now, and we still love getting up, coming in there. We like coming in 11 better than we did.
Yeah, well, you got
8.
A little later start, yeah.
But that's cool, and we like it, and we enjoy talking about food and wine, and tell everybody our experiences and where we travel to. Stu's got his other things going on with his Delta Safari. He posts on Facebook and he talks about. You know, I just we're passionate about our food and our beverages, and we like to tell people about it. And well, doggone it, there just happens to be people out there that are interested in hearing about
it's
it.
It's funny how that works in the world. So let's let's pick your brain on the food side for a second, because we always hear where'd you eat, right? We get to hear about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's say this weekend I want to go get two things. I want to go get seafood, and then another time I want to go get fried chicken. These are two of my favorite things. So where are you sending me?
Seafood? Well, both
shrimp.
These.
I'm going to go get some fried shrimp. So
both these are going to be on the Eastern Shore.
So I got to travel. I got to leave the confines.
You got to leave the confines and go across the lake, the pond,
yeah,
the ocean that people call it.
The ocean. Yes, yes.
And the mobile ocean.
Yes.
And I would go to Market by the Bay.
Okay.
There in Daphne. And then if you want fried chicken, Champies.
So that's the thing. So I've not had, you know, and I've called in before actually on y'all's show talking fried chicken because I love fried chicken so much. And everybody says Champies, Champies, Champies. And I'm such a West Sider, I haven't been. They're saying it's next level.
There's nothing else like it. It's consistent. But don't be in a hurry when you go. They do not even put it in a fryer until you order it.
So you go like a you have to plan like a leisurely lunch.
Just, you know, if you're going to be there an hour, and I'm not saying all of them like that, but when you place that order, they take it to the kitchen, and boom, they drop it in the fryer.
Okay,
it is steaming hot when it comes to your table.
And see what's funny about that? Like a lot of grown-ups will wait and let it cool down enough so they don't burn the roof of their mouth. I can't.
The beer.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But I can't,
when that chicken comes out like that, and I know it's hot, and I'm touching it, it's burning the skin off my fingers, I still decide I'm going to try to eat it.
You'll learn.
It's 51 years.
But go ahead and break it open. Go ahead and pull a little crust off, take a bite, and then let that steam come out where you broke that crust off. That's what I do.
Okay. Well, listen, y'all are the pros. Also, just kind of the overall, and listen to y'all talk about all the different restaurants and people in the restaurant business and all that, but where are we, do you think, in the Mobile and Baldwin County for new restaurant, or how are we pacing? If you had to score, the restaurant scene here, are we out of 10, right?
I've never seen so many great restaurants as we have now, and there's more coming.
That's the problem, because
people are wanting that better, finer dining experience, but they do it like David Rass, and they can do like with the Royal Scam, casually.
Right. Correct.
Have fine dining casually, like Grace.
That's a generational thing, too, I think, because I like that.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, if they're going to, they felt like they needed to dress up to go out for fine dining. But I like to, if I can wear a pair of jeans, a nice shirt or something like that, go for fine dining. Because what I was saying, Mike, is it seems like it's trending so fast on the restaurant scene. Somebody will come to me and say, hey, have you eaten at so-and-so's? I'm kind of a hermit. I don't get out much. And I say, no. They go, well, it's like so-and-so's, but a little bit of so-and-so's. And they're comparing it to other restaurants. I'm like, I hadn't been to any of these yet.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're not going a couple times a week, you're like.
Yeah. But, and you know, at the same time, there's so many new restaurants opening up. And then we're losing some restaurants, like Osmond's is for sale.
Yeah.
And I hate to see that. But, you know, he's been doing it a long time. He's paid his dues. And I think he's ready to retire.
But that opens up. How many people? How many plates were served at Osmond's for so many years? You know, that opens a lot of opportunities.
A lot.
All right.
He's done very well for a long time, and I think he's ready to relax.
But there's going to be somebody else fills that.
Always.
There's going to be the next.
Always. And I mean, his chef may go somewhere else, or if somebody comes there and buys him out. But there's always, I used to get upset. Oh God, I hate saying that. But there's always somebody opening another place.
Right. There's always new opportunities.
The dining experience has been the best I've ever seen. It just continues to get better in the Mobile and Eastern Shore area.
All right. So if y'all are like me and kind of like a rank amateur at this stuff, that's why you got to listen to Sip and Chew 11 o'clock on Sundays. See what we did segue there.
Yeah, absolutely. Plug Sip and Chew and Mike and Stu. You know, I'm the sipper. I get asked all the time, are you sip or chew? Are you the grape killer?
Yeah.
That's what people ask me all the time.
But that doesn't mean you don't also eat. You
right.
also eat, yes.
Can't you tell?
Come look at us here. Mike, good to see you.
My pleasure.
All right.
Been fun.
Absolutely. Check them out. Sip and Chew, 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings here at FM Talk 106.5.
Still some more of these Smarties.
Still Smarties, and we'll be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you all along. And we are live at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo. And we've done this for several years, but maybe even more than several. Several plus one, 4 years, maybe 5 years. And this is it's always an event, but this is the busiest I have seen it. So maybe it's a great time you come down to do a little networking. Plus, see what's available. Like, every time I'm down here, I see new businesses I did not know were operating in town. It's really cool. You ought to come down and be part of it and check it out. We are at the Mobile Convention Center. Doors stay open till 3 o'clock here, so you can come down and be part of it today. All right, without further ado, Parker Snyder from 1819news.com joins us. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Sean.
I don't know where to go with this. Redistricting, we go into session. We go into a special session to discuss redistricting. And we're told, you know, there's the plaintiff's plan, but then here's Singleton's plan coming in, and this looks good, and this looks better. And then they work that over some more, and then they come to a decision, and then everybody was telling me that decision's not going to stick. There's no way that's going to move through, so why did we even do it? Now we got three federal judges hearing the final arguments on Allen versus Milligan redistricting. Where the heck are we now?
Yeah, it's a really messy situation. First off, I'm very jealous that you're at the expo. Any expo that I can get to is really exciting, and just seeing all those people and all the businesses. So
and there's food. The caterers, the caterers are here, man, and so they all have their best food out. So you just walk up and down the aisles and
amazing.
It's good.
So jealous. Well, for the redistricting case, yeah, basically what happened is what you said, and on Monday, this Monday that we just had, the case was brought before a federal district court, and the same one that had, you know, told them, hey, this is actually not, your map is not constitutional. It's, you know, it's not allowing black people to have the same voice that they should have. And so, you know, the defense, which Alabama was defending in this case, you know, it was going pretty well until around the end, where you could tell that at least one judge was very doubtful of Alabama's arguments. And then another one said, you know, you basically, talking about the legislature, you basically didn't do what we told you to do, which is not what you want to hear from the judges who have required you to redo your map. And so, yeah, I mean, it looks like what's going to happen is over the next couple weeks, they're going to deliberate and they'll probably make a decision. And what is being expected by most, you know, politicos is that it's going to be struck down and they're going to have to appoint a special master, just a third party, to draw these lines. And, you know, with a third party, they'll probably have, you know, comment time, different constituents, different people will probably go around the state. But it's not going to be the legislature drawing the lines, most likely. And, you know, there's always the question of, like, was this the intent originally, or did they just, is this just what the best that they thought they could do? Or were they actually trying to rid themselves of the responsibility of drawing those lines?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question to ask, but, you know, you talk about this. The question, what, you know, to have one majority minority district and one that was close, right? That bothered me, too, mm-hmm. because I need to get, like, when you say close, is close 31%, 38%, 50, you know, or 49.5%. That left it open there for interpretation. But then you've got a lot of people saying what you're saying, that maybe this was, they weren't trying because they figured it wasn't going to, nothing they did was going to work.
Yeah, and that's the question. I remember back in 2019 when Alabama passed our abortion ban, and you know, most of the legislators did not think that Roe versus Wade was going to get overturned, and they didn't think what their work was going to, you know, the work that they had just done was actually going to become law. They were going through the process. They did the things that worked for their campaign. And I think, I mean, it's a great bill. It's a great law. But they didn't all think it was actually going to happen. And so I think, you know, with this, a lot of people most likely were just like, yeah, we're not getting close to what, you know, what the judges want, what the Supreme Court wants. And so they just were like, we'll pass it and we'll just, you know, deal with what the federal government says. And it's quite a, I don't know. I mean, I am a little frustrated that our representatives didn't try to get a little closer to where they would actually be able to draw the line. Because you don't, if a social master is in charge, I mean, the legislators really don't have any influence. And, you know, there's also a question of, like, should the legislators be drawing their own line? But that's kind of weird, too. But there are representatives, and, you know, now it's going to be, and this doesn't happen very often, though. Most states actually get to draw their own line. And stuff like this is going to be, it's going to put Alabama in a bad light. It kind of makes our legislature look a little bit like a lame duck legislature. He can't do what they're supposed to be doing.
You know, the subjective side of this is this idea and this discussion of how people vote. And I know they don't care. They're going to go back to the VRA. But this idea, I think there's a quote in the story over at 1819 News that says, Abba Khanna, attorney for the plaintiffs, said nothing has changed from the 2021 plan to the 2023 plan passed by the Alabama legislature. And then goes on to say, there's no dispute that the white majority usually, if not uniformly, will vote as a block to defeat black preferred candidates. Racial polarization is intense and it is stark. I don't know what Khanna's comparing that to. I mean, it seems like his interpretation of what it's like in Alabama is very different than what I see.
Yes, I mean, I would agree with you, too. I'm not sure where this attorney is, you know, where this attorney lives, but that's not the experience that I see and I have in many parts of the state, both urban and suburban and rural. And I think, you know, generally, black people do vote for Democrats. So, But if it wasn't a Democrat, like if black people didn't vote for Democrats, this wouldn't be a black-white thing. This is really a Democratic-Republican problem.
Correct.
And that it's got the racial, you know, tones to it, but it's really about power. All of this is just about power. It's not about race. It's about Democrats wanting more power, Republicans not wanting to give it to them.
There you go. But it goes under, you know, it goes under this idea that it's defined by race. And okay, so if we flip this around though and said, let's say we have these two new districts drawn, and I don't know, maybe they end up having a black Republican win or a white Democrat win? Or I mean, is it outcome-based? Is it are they going to go back and revisit this because whatever the formula they think is going to happen here doesn't happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, like, how do you know? Let's say you get another one that's somehow 50% black and you know, a Republican still gets elected, or it's a white Democrat, as you said. Like, who's going to be... You know, I mean, I think it's if a Democrat, they're going to be like, fine, they don't really care. But if it's a black Republican, they might be like, oh, this isn't right. And I think, you know, you look at our population, we're around, I believe, 68% white, and the majority of the rest of it is of our state is are black. And that, you know, 2 out of 7 is a little bit closer to 1 out of 7 proportionally. So, I mean, it seems to make some sense, but when you are doing it based on race alone, but that's the trick. They're not really doing it based on race. They're trying to get it based on the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And, yeah, so, I mean, who knows what the future is going to hold. It's going to be messy. It's not great for Alabama. But it's also, I mean, just a few months ago or a year ago, we were wondering if we were going to be knocked down to six congressional districts anyway. So they're kind of doing this same kind of dance, again, in a way they weren't expecting.
Just joining us, talking to Parker Snyder with 1819 News. Okay, so timeline on this. You know, we're looking here at 2024. So, I mean, they're moving this part along with the special master. But when does somebody find out if it's going to be redrawn? You know, I mean, when do they get the, hey, by the way, your voting is moved. You're now in a new district or something to that effect. When can that happen as late as before the primary? Or when does that happen? When's the cutoff for that?
They're going to want to schedule everything to where it's before the 2024 election, because Congress is every 2 years. So my guess is 3 weeks, maybe two, if they're going quick. They say, you know, this isn't right, special master, do it. And then the special master is going to take, I mean, assuming, let's see, half a year, 6 months, something like that, to plan it. And people will find out, you know, some may find out not that long before they're figuring out who they're voting for. So it's we're on a tight deadline. It's 2023. It's almost 2024 already. And, you know, the primaries are going to be in March, I believe.
Yep, absolutely. And the other part of this, too, that I've discussed, so I'm not saying I'm the only person. I don't know that I'm the only person. But I see for what I think will come out of the special master, I don't know, but what I think will come out of the special master, those two districts, the new one and two, all the power will all be in the south and west of those districts. But let's say a drawn one that's Dauphin Island to Dothan. People in the Wiregrass are probably not going to see their person ever get elected in one, because the money and the population is all in the south and west of that district.
Yeah, that's something I haven't thought about either. But yeah, it's going to be frustrating for a lot of people. And there's going to be a lot of opinions and a lot of problems that come every time you redraw lines. But this is going to cause more, because it's going to be, you know, if you're a Republican in one of these new Democratic districts, you're not going to feel like you have a voice, just like what you're saying. And even if you're in a Republican one, if the power's all or the money's all somewhere else,
right? You know, I mean, because it'll go the whole way to the Georgia line. Okay, so the district, the newly drawn one, maybe goes the whole way to the Georgia line, but there's a lot of geography there without a lot of people. You come back to the south and west, then you have the people, you have the money, you have the political capital. And so, I mean, my prediction, it'll be somebody over the years from around here, where I'm sitting right now, that will be the person that wins District 1, and possibly the same thing for some redrawn District 2.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it could be very Mobile-centric, and you might lose a lot of the Montgomery, you know, traditional Black Belt. A lot of that representation might have Terry Sewell from, I believe she's from Tuscaloosa, and then, you know, a couple people from Mobile, and that whole middle part of Alabama is not, you know, represented by a person who's from there. I could definitely see that happening.
Right, that's when you see these these super gerrymandered districts, you got to know that there's power only in certain areas of that district, and there's a bunch of people that are there just to make up population, you know, based on skin color, unfortunately. All right, before we head off here, I guess it started at AL.com. It started some chatter out there, and y'all over at 1819 News have given the details in it. Parker, a drag queen singer on the Christian music charts, like being the top of it. Explain this, because I read the story first. They said, hey, there's a drag queen singer on Christian music charts, and y'all say, no, that's not exactly how it works. What's going on here?
Yeah, so AL.com saw that there was on Apple Music specifically, there was a one song by a drag queen who is a former worship leader. His song got number one for about a day after a TikTok controversy, and it's very much not a Christian song at all. So what you got here is Apple misappropriating a Christian label, and it was for a second based on, you know, a very quick viral thing. It's not anywhere in the top 40 songs on the Christian charts now, but that little hint of liberalism in Alabama, or just, you know, a way to, you know, mess with Christians, AL.com writes this article, or Reckon does, which is owned by AL.com, and they, you know, say, oh, this drag queen is on the top of the music charts, and they were on top of one Apple Music number for about a day, and it was only because a bunch of liberals were listening to it to try to get it there.
And that's Flamey Grant, right? Flamey Grant.
Yeah, Flamey Grant. Yeah,
Flamey Grant.
So
the queen of Christian pop, great
story. But it is. It's just another example of, you know, AL.com trying to paint a picture that's just not accurate about, you know, what's going on in the world. It's factually true that she was on the top of a music chart technically, but it's not like the Billboard Top 100. It doesn't have any, you know, outside you know, verifiable like sales or anything like that attached to it.
Parker, tell folks about this 1819 News and what y'all do and how to get more info from you.
Yeah, we're a new nonprofit. We've been around for 2 years, but we're a nonprofit news organization trying to be the AL.com for people who are not very liberal people. So you can visit our website, 1819news.com, and our website updates just as often as any news website does.
Parker, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, Parker Snyder, 1819 News, and we are coming right back. We are live at the Mobile Business Expo, Mobile Chambers Business Expo. And, yeah, come by and see us. A lot of folks have done that. And coming up in just a little bit, my man Dale Leach from Lanyap, they continue the reporting on the defrocked priest, and it's probably an hour's worth of content. We'll get in half an hour coming up at 1.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Thursday, and we are live from the Mobile Chambers Business Expo, Mobile's largest business-to-business trade show. Big thanks for them having us back out of here, And we will we'll be here for another hour or so. Like I said, Dale Leach from Lanyap is going to join me in just a little bit. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales Brokerage Service. Now, I've talked about this in the past. Why would you have somebody? Why would you have somebody sell your boat for you? You're like, well, come on, Sean, I'll sell my own boat, and I'll make. So I thought the same way. And I'm talking to my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales about a year ago about this, and he said, what if I told you I could get you just as much for your higher-end used boat as you could selling it on your own? And I said, what, take away the delight of taking people I don't know down to Navco Park and taking them on a test ride on the boat or having them call me at 11 o'clock at night or people kicking tires in the driveway who have no interest in buying the boat? Why would you take that joy away from me? But I said, okay, let's say I did. He said, here's how it works. Here's how they can do it. Here's how they get you just as much money. They have a brokerage network, 50 years in business. They have a huge brokerage network, and they have contacts, people looking for the boat you're selling somewhere. Could be on the Atlantic seaboard, you know, Florida East Coast, the Gulf Coast. They know where the people who are looking for whatever high-end used boat you're selling are, so they're going to get top dollar. So that boat may not stay here. It may go, you know, halfway across the country, but you get the top dollar for it. That way they get to make a living, and you get to make just as much for selling your boat as you would doing it on your own, and you don't have to do it on your own. So here's how it works. You call and make an appointment, bring the boat by, let them check it out and see what they can do for you. BlueWaterYachtSales.net, that's their website, BlueWaterYachtSales.net. That you can call Forrest at 476-2699. But yeah, and if you want to do it too, they'll do a full cleanup service, any work that needs done on the boat to make sure you get top dollar for it, they'll do that as well. So make that appointment, see what they can do. Maybe it's the end of fishing season for you. Maybe you're trying to get your next boat. That's even better. Let the crew at Blue Water Yacht Sales Brokerage Service do it for you. Once again, 476-2699, or check them out online, bluewateryachtsales.net. All right, lots of text to get into here. Market by the Bay. Again, so when I asked my buddy Mike Bailey, Sip from Sip and Chew, you know, our food and wine show on Sundays here about fried shrimp, he's saying Market by the Bay. I've never been there, and I've never been to Champy's. So I'll say on the fried shrimp thing, Nancy's, when Nancy's went away, there's just a, there's so many great fried shrimp in Mobile. But Nancy's has, something special in my, heart. That's been, Nancy's been gone, what, 20 years or something like that? All right. Let's see. A lot of people talking about the redistricting legislation. Yeah, I'll just go back to this. The quote in that story that I talked about. This is what drives me nuts. Okay, this drives me nuts. And this is just one of the attorneys, you know, that's in the lawsuit. But this is what keeps us from moving forward, I think, as a country, and especially in Alabama. Abakana, the attorney for the plaintiff, said nothing has changed from the 2021 plan and the 2023 plan passed by the Alabama legislature. Goes on to say there's no dispute that the white majority usually, if not uniformly, will vote as a block to defeat black preferred candidates. This idea that you, and it's been shown over time to be true as a voting block with black Alabamians for Democrats, sure. But is it the same going forward? This idea that your skin color decides who your candidate is? At the same time, that's why I flipped it around. I would have asked this attorney, so what happens if that white majority is voting for a black candidate? So if they now... And so these things happen. This happened, you know, I mean, it happens in Alabama. And for them to say racial polarization is intense and it is stark, I think it's made that way in the media to a level much further than it is in reality. Goes on in the story to say, Alabama Solicitor General Edmund LaCour Jr. defended the legislature's map passed this year. LaCour said the plaintiff's maps would result in district lines that break up the Black Belt into three or more districts to hit racial goals. LaCour added that some of the plaintiff's arguments amounted to, quote, affirmative action in redistricting, end quote. and went on to say, it's not racial consciousness, it's racial predominance. So here we are in 2023, and the idea is your skin color is more important than your area of interest. For example, let's say the way they're going to draw one and two, and which I think is going to happen, in the very similar to the plaintiff's maps. So to gerrymander down to get black voters into this newly drawn two district that's going to come into Mobile. So there's, let's say in the scenario right now, you and your neighbor, one of you is black, one of you is white, whatever. Okay, so we're going to do that. You shop at the same place, as kids go to the same school, you work, maybe you work at the same place, whatever, go to church, same place. They're telling you through these drawn districts that you have more in common with a person that has your same skin color that lives the whole way over on the Georgia line where you're on the edge of the Eastern time zone. I mean, golly. I hate the Eastern time zone. So you're the whole way over there, and you have more in common with that person than you do your neighbor because your skin color is different. So you have more in common with the same skin color for somebody who lives hours away versus the person who lives, in the next yard over because of your skin color. How is that forward thinking? All right, we'll talk about this more. And my man Dale Leash from Lanyap joins me in just minutes. Come see us. We are at the Mobile Chambers Business Expo and Midday Mobile. Another hour coming your way next.